Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for the sacrifice, Lord, that has been made for us. Lord, the ultimate sacrifice that you made for us on the cross, and then the sacrifice that men and women of our country have made to preserve the ability to be able to freely worship you and to freely share in that liberty that we have in you, Christ. So we are thankful, Lord. We thank you for our body members, for our families. Bless today, Lord, be with those that are abroad carrying the seed, Lord, of hope and of joy. And we just thank you for that amazing, amazing investment that's being made around this world today because of your seed, of your word that's so real to us, God. Bless this time we have together in your precious name. Amen. Okay, please have a seat. You know what really is exhausting is trying to manage your life. Isn't it? I just told you something about your life in case you didn't know. That's because I have a life. You know, sometimes people tell us, get a life. And we have lives. And when we try to manage them in our flesh, it's pretty exhausting, isn't it? Trying to figure out what's next, where am I supposed to do, or what job am I supposed to take, or how's that bill going to be met, or how am I going to fix that relational issue? Or, wow, it can be exhausting, can it? You know what's really comforting? Entering into his rest. Oh, wait a minute, you can't do that. That makes you a sluggard or a slacker. No, that makes us wisest people on all the earth, that we can enter into the rest that's been given to us in Christ. So much so that the Bible tells us to labor to enter into that rest. If you're going to labor at anything, make sure it's I got to do everything I can to find my way into the rest of God. So this morning I was just thinking a little bit about faith and this amazing provision that we have in faith. And we could say this, that faith is, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is what? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the word for substance there in our King James Version is the substance of things hoped for. It could alternately be translated as assurance, confidence, or reality. Imagine that. And think about this in the original Greek. It says the word, the terms conveying the idea of substance are a firm foundation, the real being, the actual existence, the substantial nature, a resolute trust. One sense of the word refers to a title deed or a legal document guaranteeing the rights to possess a property. Imagine that. Faith is a firm foundation. Faith is the real being. Faith is the actual existence of things hoped for. Faith is the substantial nature of things hoped for. Faith is a resolute trust of things hoped for. Faith is a title deed to those things hoped for. This is very interesting. One writer mentions this, one commentator says this, that by faith alone we are sure of eternal things that they are. Okay, by faith alone. But by hope we are confident that we shall have them. So really, all hope is presupposed by faith. In other words, without faith there is no hope. Okay, so just think about that for a minute. We'll develop that thought a little bit. Another writer, A.S. Peake, says this. He says, faith has this quality, that it can lift us into fellowship with the unseen. that it can carry us within the veil. Faith thus has a power of realization by which the invisible becomes visible and the future becomes present. While hope is the confident anticipation of a future regarded as future, faith appropriates that future as an experience in the present. Isn't that awesome? Faith is the assurance. It's the assurance of things hoped for. We have a way that we have embraced because sometimes that's what's been put in front of us, and it's very exhausting. It's very tiresome. But there is a new and a better way, a new and living way. There's a way that when I put my trust in Christ and operate in that way, there's not the burden of sin. There's not the burden of death. There's the resurrection life that comes with the fellowship in Christ Jesus. Lifts us up from the miry pit and takes us out and brings us to an even place where we can have fellowship with God. So let's think about this a little bit. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22, if you want to turn there. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. So faith is substance, right? Faith is substance. Two, there's no hope without faith. Faith is something that becomes very concrete, not because of anything that we've performed, but because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Therefore, faith is real. If it's up to me to be faithful, then faith is intermittent, it's powerful for a moment, and then it fizzles out. But because the underlying power behind faith is God who is faithful, God who endured all the way to the cross, the suffering and the shame, God who took upon himself all of the things that were separated us from him, and he paid the price so that we could have fellowship together with him. That's why we can have hope. You know what hope is? Hope is an expectation that has a real end. When we're talking about it in this way, that LP's hope, that's the word in the Greek, that hope is the fulfillment or the expected end of what we're putting our hope in. So we literally can have an expected end to our hope because of the faithfulness of God, because of who he is. So I wonder, you know, how many times have we come to the church service or to the Bible study or in our personal fellowship and kind of obediently meandered our way there? Okay, again, I've been there, done that. We come, it's what we're supposed to do, it's the church service, we're Christians, so we come to the church service. And then we say, okay, I'm here, God, if you have something to say, go ahead and say it. Or we could come in and say, you know what, I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know that God has something to say this morning. God has something to say to me. God has something to say to his body. God takes great pleasure in Luke 12:32. He says, fear not, little flock. It is my good pleasure to give you my kingdom. I enjoy this. I want to have you come together. I want to give you fellowship. I want to give you joy. I want to give you corrective chiropractic work upon occasion. Anybody feel that before? A little chiropractic therapy. You come out of the church service going, oh, wow, do I feel good. Man, I got worked over. Hallelujah, I got worked over. The flesh is no longer there in those areas that God was dealing with. Right? The Spirit gave me life. What did I have to do in that church service? Did you have to jump up and down? Did they count how much faith you had? Did it depend upon how much money you gave in the offering? Did it depend upon you know, how your countenance was. No, it depended upon the faithfulness of God. The hope that I have is because of the substance of God, which produces something called faith. I hope we get this morning. It's such a rich thought that we come here by faith. By faith. Oh, what do you mean you come here by faith? I come here knowing that God is God and I am who I am. And we're not here to concentrate on who I am. We're here to concentrate on who He is. Isn't that beautiful? We are here to fellowship in the richness of the character of and the nature of God, which does away with all the shortcomings of us in the plan. Now, we're still here, by the way. You still wake up in the morning. You still look in the mirror. You still put a foot on the floor as you're getting out of bed. But in those moments, can't we say thank God for the faithfulness of God? Thank God that when I look in the mirror, I'm not scared by who I am. Sometimes I am. But we look in the mirror and we say, wow, in Christ, I am something beautiful. I am the reflection of the glory of God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? You know, maybe you came in here condemned this morning because of your life. Well, if the life is not dealt with, then sure, we're going to be condemned. But the beautiful thing is, the life is dealt with. Okay? Christ dealt with that. Christ on the cross dealt with that. So we come unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Israelites, when they were in the wilderness and they were being bitten by the serpents, they had to look up. They couldn't look at the wounds. They had to look up. And when they looked up, there was healing. When they looked unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, there was healing. When they were occupied with their shortcomings, when they were occupied with the wounds, they experienced death. Sound familiar? Have we been in the battle? Have we been challenged? Have we been filled with some kind of wound? And the more that we look at that wound, the more that it becomes festering and becomes a root of bitterness and starts to affect others. Did you know that my own walk with God can affect others in a positive way? Or my own lack of faith and fellowship and bitterness could affect others in a bitterness way? What am I feasting on? No wonder why he says feast on the Lamb. Because the Lamb is the sacrifice, right? The Lamb was given so that there would be no more remembrance of sin. If we feast on our wounds, what are we feasting on? I'm hurt. I'm challenged. I'm suffering. My pain, my trouble, my difficulty, my. It's like those seagulls and me. I don't even know what show it is. You know. Me. Well, how about him? How about him? How about the devil tries to fire a fiery dart at us and we say, too bad it's not up to me. If it was me, you might have some place to go, Satan, but guess what? It's not me. It's him. I talked to Pastor Shabelli just for a brief second. He was getting in the car and going to Wilmington, Delaware to preach. Africa, Delaware, India, Pastor Shabelli just grabbed the hem of his garment and follow after him somewhere. He's running through the maze. You don't know where he's going. And he said, what are you going to preach on, the armor of God? And I said, well, actually, I was going to preach on faith. Well, they just spoke about the armor of God and the good battle. And he said, you know what, if you don't have the armor of God, it's not a good battle. I said, wow, that's incredible. If we don't have the armor of God, good luck. Anybody here ever fight a battle in the energy of your own flesh? It's exhausting. It's tiresome. What do we get out of it? We get bruised and hurt and injured, or we can put on the armor of God and let the battle be won for us. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm opting for. I thought about preaching about the doctrine of election. Said, not talking about elections. any type, way, shape, or form. Can you imagine how we could be consumed with things? It didn't go the way I thought, or it went better than I thought, or it went worse than I thought. And who cares? Because ultimately, God has a provision for us, no matter where we stand. Imagine that. Imagine that. That God, in the midst of a difficult day, or whatever kind of day you want to see it as, has a plan for us. And that we are in the midst of that plan. And it's so challenging sometimes to try to figure your way forward when you don't see yourself in the plan of God. Because when we see ourselves in the plan of God, it's like, this is going to be awesome. God has deliverance. How are you going to get out of that situation? I don't know. And good thing is, I'm not. God is going to. God has. God is. God does. You know, we pray in the morning, Lord, would you please come and visit me in my life? And he's like, what do you mean, would you please? How about God, thank you for coming to visit me in my life. Thank you that I am filled with your spirit. Thank you that I have the joy of the Lord as my strength. Well, you didn't see me when I woke up this morning. I didn't have to. I saw me. And believe me, if it can work for me, then it's nothing for you. That's the way God works. He is all powerful. He is almighty. He is faithful. And faithful is he who has begun a good work, who will do it. He's going to continue it. When? Until the very end. Until he comes back for us. He's faithful to us. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us right now. He is our high priest in the Holy of Holies. His blood has been sprinkled on the mercy seat so that we could experience the Shekinah glory of God. What does all that mean? It means that God has ripped the veil that kept me from being able to enter into his Holy of Holies. And he ripped it in a manner that allows me bold access so that I can come in a weak sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and I can enter into his Holy of Holies, and I can have fellowship with the Almighty God. So what do I want to have in my life? Do I want to have a way that leaves me exhausted, a way that's tiresome, a way that doesn't have an answer, it just has frustration and suffering and pain? Or do I want to put myself in the way of God, which, by the way, might actually include some pain and some suffering and some tiredness, and it'd all be to the glory of God, because in the end, it's his battle, he's won it, he's drawn me into it, he's called me to it, and he is faithful to do it. Isn't that awesome? It's the faithfulness of God. So we wake up in the morning, and we say, today, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Pastor Schellers mentioned a few times when he went to visit a church up in New York, that he spoke at a seminar, and there was a pastor there that had a million-person church. And the question was asked, how do you manage all that? How do you manage a million people? And he said, well, I wake up in the morning, and I ask God, what is your will for me today? And then I do it. End of story. God is the one who knows what's needed. So God provides the provision. So God asks of us to be available to him so that he can use us as a vessel to provide what's needed by his faithfulness. And we'll be a conduit of that faithfulness to others. There is a new and living way. A new way. A living way. You know, there was an old way. Do you remember the old way? Come into the Holy of Holies as the high priest, offer the sacrifice for himself first, then come back out and offer the sacrifice for the people. And what happens if he did it the wrong way? They had to reel him in. Honestly. And was it effective for all the time? No, it wasn't. Actually, the law was weak in that we couldn't live up to it, right? The law was righteous. The law was perfect. We were weak in it. We couldn't live up to the requirements of the law. Beautiful. We get that message. But you know what's next? The faithfulness of God. The one-time sacrifice that satisfies everything that is needed so that I have bold access to the throne of grace, the mercy seat, the holy of holies. That sounds a little far off. Well, how about in your practical life? How about I step off, you know, the public transportation, or I step out of my car, or I'm walking somewhere, or I'm just seeing people, and I get some kind of oppressive feeling, or there's some challenging situation, or there's some difficulty, and I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, you're sticking your head into the sand. You're not confronting reality. No, you're right. I'm not confronting reality. Christ is. And I'm placing myself in Christ because I have bold access. That access was made legitimate by the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood has effectiveness for all of us, for all of eternity. We place our trust in Christ. He is faithful. He is faithful and he is just. Right? 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful. He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even in our daily life. Lord, I want to walk with you. There's things that get in the way. I failed in this area. I am faithful. I am just. I am faithful. I will. I have. I forever will. I'm just. I'm able to. It is my legal ability to do that. And I have chosen to do that. The only one, the only one, the only lamb without blemish or without spot, the only one qualified, paid the price so that we could have eternal life. It's a new and better way. The world has this thought about faith and hope and love, and it goes something like this. Love is what makes me feel good. Right? Love is what makes me feel good. Oh, I love that. Or, oh, I love you until you cross me. You know, they say people in the United States are like the weather. I grew up in New England where it's a little cold. People tend to be a little cold. Get to the Mid-Atlantic, they're a little warmer. In the South, they are so warm and, why, good to see you. But don't walk across the yard. The shotgun is trained, right? Get off my yard! I lived in the South. I've lived in the Mid-Atlantic. People are people. People are people. We all have need of Jesus Christ. It's nice that we have a little different temperament if the weather's nice. But it's very limited, isn't it? The first thing that comes upon us to push us outside of our little comfort zone, and we're people again. We're people again. I love you. Well, actually, couldn't we say, for the most part, in many instances, that we could interchange that word with I lust you? Couldn't we? As long as you give me some benefit, I love you. Well, the difference between love and lust is very clear. Love is something that is done for the benefit of others. And lust is something that is done for the benefit of me. I lust you. Well, there's no lasting result from lust. Actually, lust becomes what? Death. Right? It becomes death. We shoot the arrow of intention to find out what is going to cause somebody to have joy in their life, and we do it, and we find it, and then we're happy because we found the thing, and then we go try a second time, and it didn't work. Why? Because they're people. They're not robots. They don't respond to one initiation the same way every time. They might have had a bad morning or a bad afternoon. They might not be in the spirit. They might be in the flesh. They might have a different thought about life today than they did yesterday. Well, guess what? If I'm looking for a result, then every time I shoot the arrow, it's a shot in the dark. And every result I get is a lucky result. By the way, potluck on the dinner for Thanksgiving kind of has a strange thing, like potluck, hope somebody brings some food. It's like structured potluck, maybe. We have a little different approach to that. Your name is there, and if you're lucky, if we're lucky, you'll do your part. Initiation, when it's done to benefit myself, has failure built into it. But when I initiate in the mind of Christ, which is really completely sacrificial, without any personal benefit other than pleasing the Father. He gave. The Father gave the Son. Right? So when we initiate in love and we don't have an expectation back in lust, then we're not dissatisfied, because the source of our initiation is God, who is faithful and who meets my every need. It's not out of my own deficiency that I initiate. It's out of the overflow of life that I have from having the grace of God poured into my life. That God is in me. That God is faithful to himself, to his own vow. God is faithful. God has diligently performed that thing which allows me to have boldness into the throne of grace. And in closing here, a couple other things. Hope in the world is wishful thinking. It's wishful thinking. I hope I get to do that. I hope I have enough money. I hope I have that friendship. I hope we win the game. I hope I can get to school. I hope. But what's the reality? Yeah, it's wishful thinking. I hope I win the $1.9 billion lottery jackpot. Well, if you don't play, you're not going to win, and chances are you don't play. And if you do play, you probably shouldn't. That's why there's $1.9 billion. Nobody ever wins it. Hope, right? And then faith is believing without or against evidence. These are the world's definitions. You know, you Christians, you just walk around with a crutch. I could see how you would think that way. You obviously have never experienced the flood of grace that comes from a relationship with a loving Father that is not interested in how badly I failed, but how I responded to his grace and drew myself back into his presence by his gift of grace, and gave me bold access into his throne of mercy, and gave me an opportunity to have my life hid in him, and to have all those things that would seem to be marks against me become the strength that he provides because of his overwhelming gift of mercy and grace. I understand why you think that way. But now it's time to enter into the throne room of grace and to have God revolutionize how we experience life, how we make our decisions, how we receive when we come to the church service. Today, God wants to give me something that will help me for the rest of my life. Every church service, imagine that. You know, Adam and Eve, they were in the garden, the cool of the day, he ministered the word to them. We have the similar opportunity. Every church service, every time we open this book, every time we have fellowship one with another, do you know that as members in particular, the body of Christ, you have something to offer that comes from the throne of God? And that I can receive a portion of the throne of God from you when you express to me what's going on in your life with Christ? That I learn grace and I learn mercy? Wow, we need the body of Christ. We need the message. We need the book. We need to be drawn into his presence. We need to be filled with his life. Thank God we are drawn into his presence. We are filled with the book. We do live by faith. What we have has been given unto us, and we boldly have access, and we receive it with the same boldness and the same joy. So we have a new and living way, and maybe that's where we'll finish in Hebrews 10:20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. It's the new and living way. The world only knows the old way. Satan would love to keep us in the old way, the way that was not capable and that it was weak through the flesh. My flesh gravitates to the old way, a way that there's no standards and there's only standards and no realization that it's only by the grace of God that I can be living above in his new and living way. So today, what do we know? We know that the new and living way gives us assurance. It gives us hope. It gives us boldness. And actually, it gives us a ministry. We are made ministers of the new and living way in Ephesians chapter 3, where it says this in verse 7, "Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God." Then it goes on to say, in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least." Does it say we're perfect or we're qualified or we're able? No, it doesn't. It says, "I'm less of the least, this is what the Apostle Paul says, "is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ." And then in verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the fellowship of the mystery? Make all men see what? What is the fellowship of the mystery? Not my ways, but his ways. Make all men see it. Verse 11, "according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And lastly, "in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." Amen. God is faithful. God has given us boldness. God has given us incredible access. God has given us hope. He's given us a ministry, and he's given us comfort from fear because of a new and living way. Would you bow your heads, please? Lord Jesus, thank you so much, Father, that we are not bound to our flesh. We're not bound to the old ways where we are incapable. God, obedience now comes from a heart that is knit with you, realizing that the fruit of your life happens when I trust you for your word and I honor you for your direction. And I'm filled with your joy and your peace and your counsel, your leading. You've given us your comforter, who leads us and guides us in all truth. You help us to see ourselves in a new and living way, and not one that's dead and according to the flesh suffering, but we are filled with your life, and we have the Holy Spirit in us and revealed through us because of your faithfulness. Maybe there's somebody here today who's never said to Jesus Christ, "Lord, I would like to have you in my life as my Savior. I would like to have you fill me with your love. Fill me with your gift of salvation." He simply says to ask, and you will receive. So if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, do that today. Just invite him in. It's that straightforward. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me and give me eternal life. I want to know this life. I want to know this new and living way." And if you're here and you've said that today, just slip your hand up so we can give you something. If you've asked Christ to come into your heart today. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this revelation of who you are, God. By faith we receive it. We mix it with your faith that it would be profitable to us, God. We thank you. We love you. Give us a fantastic rest of our day in you, we pray, in your precious name. Amen.